treating people with dignity and respect, giving everyone a fair shot, leaving nobody behind, demonizing no one, not the poor, not the desperate, not the immigrant, not the other.
Is that the sound of Joe Biden running for president? It's Friday, March 14th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Doug Bernard in Washington. Also ahead, students worldwide protest against climate change in action. Human rights hang by a string in Saudi Arabia. And Pakistan immigrants to the U.S. feeds a needy neighborhood. It's all ahead today on VOA Asia. A new public exhibition has opened in Australia, charting that country's history of espionage and revealing the personal experiences of secret agents. It features the gadgets they used, surveillance images, and case studies. Phil Mercer has more from Sydney.
This is the first time an Australian intelligence agency has taken part in a public exhibition. Officials hope it will help Australians to consider the nature and purpose of the nation's security organisations at a time when new threats both at home and overseas are emerging. The exhibition explores the age-old challenge of balancing the needs of national security and human rights. The display at Western Sydney University asks whether students who took part in a May Day march in Australia in 1966 or women involved in the anti-conscription Save Our Sons movement were really a threat to the country. Leanne Smith is the director of the Whitlam Institute at Western Sydney University.
Whether it's 1901, 1950, 1970 or now, you can see in each case this tension between national security and individual and community rights and liberties, but also the potential for influence of politics onto national security. It certainly raises a lot of the questions that you could have in a contemporary conversation around national security and human rights today.
Among several case studies on display is one of the most dramatic episodes in Australia's Cold War history. In 1954, Vladimir Petrov, a diplomat at the Soviet embassy in Canberra, defected. He passed a file on Soviet activities in Australia in return for cash and political asylum. Petrov and his wife Evdokia had been working as spies, but feared they'd be killed if they went back to the Soviet Union a year after the death of the dictator Joseph Stalin. Also on display at the exhibition in Sydney are gadgets used by Australian spies, including recording equipment hidden in radios, cameras hidden in books, and letters written in invisible ink. Curators say the display gives visitors an opportunity to look at the real stories of espionage behind the gloss of make-believe. Australia has six main intelligence agencies, including the Australian Security Intelligence Organisation. Its work is often compared to the FBI in the United States or Britain's MI5. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
And we invite you to read more on our top story by following us on VOA Facebook, VOA Asia, and of course the voanews.com website. These are among the top Asia stories you'll find right now on voanews.com. A senior U.S. official has rejected China's claim that mass internment of Uyghurs and other Muslim minorities in China's Xinjiang region is part of a counter-terrorism program. The dismissal of a provincial police chief in northern Afghanistan has triggered armed clashes between his loyalists and national security forces. China's top legislature is expected to pass the country's first foreign investment law while Beijing and Washington work to hammer out a trade deal. And searchers have spotted the bodies of two climbers from Britain and Italy in Pakistan days after the pair disappeared while trying to scale one of the world's highest peaks. Coverage of these stories and more at voanews.com. And VOA Asia continues. Students in the United States and around the world will be skipping class on Friday to protest and raise awareness of climate change issues. The environmental movement began in Europe and has spread across the globe. While their cause is mostly praised, their method is controversial. VOA's Marcus Mayer-Gellin reports.
Students skipping school to protest for climate action. In various countries, mostly European, this has been going on for months. Every Friday, thousands of teenagers leave classrooms in Belgium, Germany, France, Australia and more to demand stricter climate policies. Their dramatic and controversial message, why go to school if there's no future to live for? This is the girl who started it all, then 15-year-old environmental activist Greta Thunberg from Sweden. Last summer, Greta started her school strike for climate, refusing to go to school on Fridays and instead sitting in front of the Swedish parliament. Social media made her famous. When she was invited to speak at the World Economic Forum in Davos last year, she made her message very clear.
I want you to panic. I want you to feel the fear I feel every day. And then I want you to act.
That's not democracy! This is democracy!
Thunberg's hashtags, School Strike for Climate and Fridays for Future, are now leading teenagers to rally on the street instead of in the classroom.
If governments don't do anything, the world would be a lot worse place because there'll be extreme storms, droughts, flooding, wars over natural resources. So there'll be a loss of stability across the world.
I skipped school today. Well, you can't even really say skipped, because I think climate change is such a big deal that it should be okay to miss 2 hours of class for that.
The movement has picked up endorsements from European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, and British Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn, who said it was inspiring to see them making their voices heard. Conservatives have been less supportive. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison voiced his disapproval last November.
Kids should go to school. That's what we're committed to. We don't support the idea of kids not going to school to participate in things that can be dealt with outside of school. And so what we want is more learning in schools and less activism in schools.
British Prime Minister Theresa May also voiced her concern. Greta Thunberg replied, tweeting that May's accusations of wasting valuable lesson time may well be true. But, she added, political leaders have wasted 30 years of inaction, and that is slightly worse.
If the children do something, then Theresa May will do it. People say children can't do anything, but they can do it.
So far, the majority of school strikes have been in Europe, but more and more countries are joining. The movement is expected to hit the US on March 15th. Many groups have declared an international strike day that will most likely create even more controversy. Markus Meyer-Gehlen for VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, Asia-Pacific markets traded mixed on Thursday. Japan's Nikkei 225 finished flat at 21,287.2, while the TOPIX index fell 0.24%. In South Korea, the KOSPI closed up 0.34%, while the Hong Kong's Hang Seng was down 0.22% in afternoon trade. You're listening to VOA Asia. And we're happy you're with us on VOA Asia. Former Vice President Joe Biden continues to edge closer to a run for the president, and an official announcement could come in just a matter of weeks. If Biden does run, polls suggest that he would enter as the frontrunner for the Democratic Party presidential nomination. But Biden can also expect pushback for his moderate views from a crowded Democratic field that tilts to the left of the political spectrum. VOA National Correspondent Jim Malone has more from Washington.
Thank you.
Members of a firefighters union urging Joe Biden to run for president.
I appreciate the energy you showed when I got up here. Save it a little longer. I may need it in a few weeks.
Speaking in Washington, Biden also hinted at some of his campaign themes if he does run.
Treating people with dignity and respect, giving everyone a fair shot, leaving nobody behind, demonizing no one, not the poor, not the desperate, not the immigrant, not the other.
Biden leads the Democratic presidential contenders in the polls, but he will have plenty of competition, including 2016 contender Senator Bernie Sanders.
those radical ideas that we talked about 4 years ago? Well, today, virtually all of those ideas are now supported by a majority of the American people.
Let's give a warm New Hampshire welcome to Cory Booker.
More than a dozen Democrats have already jumped in, including several candidates who could appeal to the party's younger and more diverse voters, like California Senator Kamala Harris.
The rules aren't applying equally to all people in our country. That not all people in our country have equal access to a path toward success.
President Donald Trump has accused Democrats of veering into socialism, especially with an ambitious environmental proposal known as the Green New Deal.
I want them to embrace this plan. I want them to go and sell this plan. I just want to be the Republican that runs against them. Could that be?
Most Democrats would welcome Biden's entrance into the race, says Jim Kessler.
It shows that people like him. There's very few Democrats who don't like him. They want him to get in the race as opposed to not wanting him to get in the race.
But Biden could struggle because of his age, he's 76, and his centrist record on policies, says John Hudak.
But also having a record as a senator on issues like criminal justice issues that are very far out of step with mainstream Democratic values today. And so the 1994 version of Joe Biden may be the worst opponent for the 2020 version of Joe Biden.
But Biden's best argument may be that he would be a strong challenger for President Trump, says Will Marshall.
Donald Trump may be a polarizing figure nationally, but he's a unifying figure where Democrats are concerned. They're absolutely united in the determination to not see him reelected.
What are you going to have an announcement for us, Mr. Vice President?
Biden failed in two previous presidential bids, but he remains popular among Democrats after serving as President Barack Obama's vice president for 8 years. Jim Malone, VOA News, Washington.
Meanwhile, South Korea's entertainment industry was upended this week after a celebrity cell phone revealed widespread alleged acts of sexual misconduct. At the center of the scandal are ex-Big Bang member Seungri Jung-yun-yung and FT Island's Choi Jong-hoon. Jung admitted to filming women he has had sex with and then sharing the videos online. He said this was done without the knowledge or consent of his partners. You're listening to VOA Asia.
What is it like to study in the United States, and what do you have to do to get here? The Student Union is VOA's blog that follows students from all over the world as they face challenges and opportunities of studying at American universities. Log on at blogs.voanews.com/student-union.
This news alert from VOA Asia, the social media monitoring firm Digimind says smart assistants are being underutilized by consumers in Asia as they prefer to use these devices for entertainment purposes as opposed to assisting with everyday tasks. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day for top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Most Venezuelans continue to endure life without electricity. Schools and businesses are closed, stores and supermarkets non-operational, and hundreds of Venezuelans are seeking water and cellular signals throughout Caracas. President in dispute Nicolas Maduro assures his people the power grid problem is a result of U.S. cyber attacks, while Secretary of State Mike Pompeo blames Maduro's socialist administration. Cristino Caicedo-Smith reports.
Electricity in Venezuela remained intermittent more than 5 days after the start of a blackout that left almost the entire country in darkness and has exacerbated supply problems among a population struggling to obtain basic services. The lack of clean water is one of them.
No electricity equals no water. Therefore, we have to go to places where we can find water without having to pay for it, because there is no place to buy it. They want cash or want dollars.
Residents in Caracas complain about standing in lines for hours to get clean water. Venezuelan mother Daisy Malave says the lines are long and that it's exhausting to stand for so many hours.
There is no water for the children or for the bathroom. You can't cook. Look at that line. I've been in line for 3 days waiting to buy a bottle of water to drink. Today I woke up without water. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Most Venezuelans spend their entire day seeking clean water or food or driving around Caracas in search of phone signals. President Nicolas Maduro blames the United States for the country's power outage.
The United States of America is the only government with a technology capable of carrying out a high-tech cyber attack.
By Skype, electrical engineer Jose Aguilar explains that the design of Venezuela's electrical system does not allow any external intervention. He rejected the sabotage thesis suggested by Maduro.
It has an internal and local connection. There is no connectivity to the outside world for the exact same reason, so it could not be attacked.
Aguilar says Venezuela's energy system used to have an emergency ignition platform to prevent these blackouts. He believes the lack of maintenance and personnel has generated the failure.
Obviously, there are continuing blackouts on and off. So the question then is, how are your generators working and do you have enough fuel? There's also a question of communications. If there's no electricity, there are no communications, which obviously speaks immediately to the safety of our people.
U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says that the only one to blame for the national blackout is Maduro. Pompeo also announced the U.S. withdrawal of the remaining personnel from the U.S. Embassy in Caracas. Aguilar assures that all electrical grids can be restored to its optimal operation in a time frame of 5 years and after an investment of $15 billion. Cristina Quecedo Smith, VOA News, Washington.
This news alert from VOA Asia. The UN's anti-drug agency says production of methamphetamine is skyrocketing in Southeast Asia. The report says that even as seizures of the drug known as speed, ice, or yaba in its various forms has reached record highs, street prices have dropped. All the big stories coming your way throughout the day on VOA. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, the human rights situation in China has seen no improvement in recent years, according to a new report presented this week. The U.S. Department of State also condemns Saudi Arabia in its annual report on human rights abuses around the world. VOA's Zlatica Hoke reports.
In its country reports on human rights practices for 2018, the U.S. State Department says violations and abuses in countries that already have dismal records continue unabated. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo singled out China for its treatment of its Muslim minorities.
Today, more than 1 million Uyghurs, ethnic Kazakhs, and other Muslims are interned in re-education camps designed to erase their religious and ethnic identities.
Venezuela is cited for extrajudicial killings, the stifling of free expression, and restrictions on political participation.
The human rights situation in Venezuela is terrible. I think it's well documented in this report, and of course it's only, this report goes through the end of last year, and it's gotten only worse since then.
While the report condemns the Saudi government in connection with last year's killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi, it does not name the chief suspect in the case, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The State Department's Michael Kozak said the United States is pressing Saudi Arabia to find those responsible for the murder.
But it's not a complete, by any means, investigation at this point. So we're sort of in the middle of that movie, and hopefully as it plays out, we'll get a clearer set of facts as to who was and who was not responsible and act accordingly.
Pompeo said the United States documents human rights abuses perpetrated by friends with equal force as all the others.
Our aim is always to identify human rights challenges and use American influence and power to move every nation towards better, more consistent human rights practices.
The high-profile case of Iranian human rights lawyer Nasrin Sotoudeh is also featured in the report. Sotoudeh was arrested in June and sentenced to 38 years in prison and 148 lashes.
The sentence is beyond barbaric. Her alleged crime was advocating for Iranian women's rights and for defending other Iranian women who were arrested by the regime for peacefully protesting the mandatory hijab law.
Critics say the administration's human rights reports do not pay enough attention to abuses that disproportionately impact women and girls. Zlatica Hoc, VOA News, Washington.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA's recently retired planet hunting Kepler Space Telescope has discovered thousands of planets since its launch in 2009. The first exoplanet candidate to be discovered by the space telescope is called Kepler 1658b. At first, the massive hot Jupiter planet was categorized as an exoplanet candidate, then was listed as a false positive when scientists didn't think the data indicated an actual planet. The scientists changed their minds later when it was again reclassified as an exoplanet candidate. An international team of astronomers led by University of Hawaii graduate student Ashley Chontos reported that Kepler 1658b has finally been confirmed as an actual planet. The team's research was recently presented at the Kepler K2 Science Conference in Glendale, California. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Finally, a Pakistani immigrant who came to the U.S. as an impoverished young adult now helps feed the homeless and needy in his popular Washington, D.C. restaurant. As a Muslim American, he says it's simply heeding the will of God to serve his fellow man with what he has. VOA's Julie Tabo has the story.
At this ordinary-looking restaurant just a few blocks from the White House, something extraordinary takes place every day. Pakistani immigrant Qazi Manan dishes out free meals to anyone who needs it. He says it's his way of heeding the principles of his Muslim faith.
I know, you know, God is happy with me, what I do, because I do it with my pure heart, with my pure intention, to uplift others without seeking any reward, any recognition. I just want to please him.
Manan wants to help the needy, he says, because growing up in Pakistan, he experienced hunger and poverty.
When you are poor and you didn't have much things that, you know, many of people have, when you get it, you want to appreciate, you want to share with others.
At Sakina Halal Grill, which is named after his late mother, he says all are treated like family.
God bless you, man.
Marcello Lesur has been coming to the restaurant every day for the past 8 months.
I think that he's a saint. He's a beautiful man, and he's just so helpful. You know, my stomach was growling. I was looking for a blessing. There he popped up and gave me a card and invited me to his restaurant for lunch. You know, and I was so overwhelmed and happy. I couldn't wait to get here. You know, and ever since then, I've been coming.
Hegekaye Grickly is also a regular.
Just more than lunch. You know, they give you enough to feed you for the rest of the day, I think. You know. And the food is great. The people are nice. You know, I wouldn't mind working here.
Manan estimates that he's provided more than 80,000 free meals since the restaurant opened in 2013. But his paying customers are his main business. Many of them contribute towards the free meals and support his cause. Geraldine Nathie Evans from Minnesota is here for the first time.
To be part of something bigger than myself, my son and I chose to come to lunch here today to support and be a small part of a great thing.
Just uplifting other is a joy for me. It doesn't matter from which walk, which, you know, color, religion you belong to. We're all human. I am focusing on humanity. I'm bringing humanity together. And this is my mission.
Manan says he will continue to help nourish both body and soul of all who walk through the door of his restaurant. Julie Tabo, VOA News, Washington.
And that is VOA Asia for today. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll see you again next week.